Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through God our Father and our Lord and our dear Savior Jesus Christ. Our epistle reading reminds us that Jesus was obedient to the point of death, that his body was given into death for us. Jesus humbled himself in a way that I don't think any of us really can comprehend. It's difficult to fathom or understand. Philippians chapter 2 says that he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself in the form of a servant, in the form of man, and he was obedient unto death. Imagine, you are the creator of the world. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the God of the universe. But your Father has deemed it necessary that you take on human flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. This week I couldn't help but continue to think about the words in Luke chapter 2. They're actually the text for tomorrow. And the words of verse 7 and verse 12 of Luke chapter 2, that Mary laid him in a manger, complete and utter poverty. Mary laid him in a manger, and Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And again, that's repeated in verse 12 to the angels. This is a sign. You will know where he's at. You will see him wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Jesus humbled himself. He is holy God all the time, and he is completely and wholly man. He doesn't set aside his Godhead in the sense that he is no longer God. He is always God, and he is always man. However, he, for most of his 33 years on the earth, chooses not to use his divine attributes. Now, he does at times when he does those amazing and wonderful and gracious and merciful miracles. But up until the time of his ministry, to the age of 30, we see him forever and constantly setting aside, not using his divine attributes. He has humbled himself. He who was rich became poor, that we who were poor might become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Jesus humbled himself, allowed himself to put on dirty diapers, laid in a manger, probably didn't smell all that well, wrapped in swaddling clothes, probably because it was cold and damp and chilly. This Jesus is our high priest. He is the one that offered his body. He had to be true God in order to fulfill the law perfectly. He had to be true God. Our catechism, you all remember, that was what, number 40, question number 47? I don't know what question it was. But in catechism, we learned that he had to be true God because only God could fulfill the law perfectly in our stead. He had to be true God because only God could suffer and die and take upon himself the condemnation of God Almighty. But he also had to be true man. He had to be true man in order to take our place under the law and be perfect. He had to be Emmanuel, God with us. He had to be true man in order to take as a man the sufferings and the condemnation, the 3-hour picture of wrath of God upon himself for us. Those two words are amazing at Christmas time. Actually, every day of the year. For us, Christ humbled himself, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, being made in the form of a man, took on our human nature, came into our world. The divine has come into our world. And so he understands. I don't know about you, but I'm not really sure I understand that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. I think they could have wrote that a little easier. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in regard to all things as we, yet without sin. Perfect. You know, there's another place in the book of Revelation that reveals that Jesus was human and had to be human. In the book of Revelation, it actually says, it characterizes the angel in Revelation chapter 5 who's trying to open the seals. And he's characterized as the strong angel. Now, what strong angel can't open the seals? Come on, he can't even open the seal. Even though he's probably the strongest angel. I don't know if he's the strongest, but... And the four creatures are found in chapter 5. And the 24 elders are found to lay down. And he says, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the seal? The Lamb of God who was slain. The Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. And they all worshiped and bowed down and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who offered humbly, who humbled himself, who came into our world, who suffered and died in our stead. He offered his perfect body. He's the only one that could do that. If you decided tomorrow that you were going to be perfect, which you cannot be. Let's just say for a moment, your husband or your wife thinks you are absolutely perfect and you are going to die for the sins of the whole world. You can't do it. Even if you were, well, you can't be perfect. God expects the only thing that will appease, the only offering and sacrifice that will appease God is a perfect lamb without sin. So if you say you're going to die for the world, you are only dying for yourself. Your payment cannot be for the whole world. It has to be for your own sin. And so we have this lamb who allowed himself to be laid in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes, who humbled himself even unto death, so that we would know that God is merciful. He is gracious. He has forgiven us of all of our sins solely on account of this body, this perfect body who was sacrificed in our stead, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And so, this Christmas, when you're with your family and there's tension or some loss that has taken place, maybe 6 months ago, but it's still affecting you. It's still affecting your son or maybe your daughter-in-law, you can say and you can come to God's throne of grace, because that's what Hebrews 4:15 that I said earlier, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, yet without sin. So for this purpose, that we can go to the throne of God's grace with confidence, knowing that he will give us grace and help in time, mercy and help in time of need. Because he understands. I mean, you can relate to the fact that he can understand our suffering. You find yourself, I don't know, you're blue and down and depressed. It's just our emotions are all over the place at different times of the year. Many people at Christmas feel lonely and displaced. They may feel confused. What's life really all about? I feel so lonely. Is anybody, whatever. And we can say with absolute confidence that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is with us. He loves me. I can come to his throne of grace, even though we come over and over and over again, which all of us do, because the Holy Spirit moves us to do that. Because God is God. He loves us. And that love compels us to keep coming as sinners to his throne of grace and say, Lord, I know I've come 67 times in the last 2 weeks asking for forgiveness for this or that. And I know that you understand my suffering. You understand as one who took on our flesh. And you love me. You have forgiven me of all of my sins. No matter how many times I come to your throne of grace, may we come with confidence. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. All of us can say that. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. So if you think you're the only one that has difficulty having confidence in this coming to the throne of grace, we're all alike in that way. And he absolutely gives us mercy and grace in time of need. You know, Zechariah was unlike. Zechariah was unlike Mary. Zechariah was told you would have a baby. And he's,
you've got to be kidding me. Do you know, angel, how old my wife is? 100 years old, I don't think so.
And the angel who had said, I stand in the presence of God, in essence, these are the words of God. And he was told he would be mute. For why? What reason? Because he did not believe. We all have that trouble. We all have difficulty believing in the word of God. We can all relate to Zechariah. Mary, on the other hand, by the grace of God, she had the same predicament. The angel came to her and said, you're going to have a baby. And instead of saying, oh, you got to be kidding me, I'm a virgin. I can't have. She said, basically, as you have said, may it happen. By the grace of God. And so we come with confidence to the throne of grace. And we ask God, help us to believe your word. Because Christmas time may bring about all kinds of emotions. You may feel, actually, you may be broke. And when people are broke, it feels like the world is caving in. And it is very easy for us not to believe in Psalm 23 that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And we're almost like Zechariah. We say, oh, God is not good. He can't be good. I've lost my job. The government shut down. I'm not getting a paycheck. Oh, no. Life and my sister's mad at me. Oh, she's so mad at me. And she deserves to be mad at me, what I did to her. Oh, my. But God is there to help us. He promises. He is God in the flesh. He has humbled himself, taken on our flesh. He understands. I don't understand how he understands, because he was perfect, but he does. That's what Scripture says. And he will help us go through these difficult times, even though we come to him time after time and say, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Because that is who God is. He is gracious. You want to see who God is? Look to the cross. Hebrews 1 says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. He is merciful and kind, forgiving and gracious. Merry Christmas, Emmanuel, God with you. Amen.